So, you know, the Olympics are coming up in February and the Winter Olympics. And so it made me think back to the previous Winter Olympics. And I don't know if you watch the Olympics. We watch the Olympics and we enjoy them. But one of the events that I remember watching, and I've watched it over several times over these last few days, was some of the cross-country skiing. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that in the previous Olympics. Probably not. But one of the storylines of that previous Olympics in China was a team, Jesse Diggins and Keegan Randall, and they actually won the first gold medal for the USA in women's team sprint. An exciting race. I usually don't get into Nordic skiing, skiing, but it was just an exciting race watching them come to the finish. Actually, a very close race as Jesse Diggins coming to the very end of the race after that long and grueling race, coming to the very end and pulling it out at the very end in the finish line, 0.19 seconds, a victory for the USA, a gold medal. As she comes across the finish line, she sticks out her ski, barely beating out the lady from Sweden. She collapses to the ground. Her teammate comes and jumps on top, celebrating, and the USA crowd, coaches going nuts. Listen, it was an exciting event. What I love about events like that, especially in this instance, was that she gave everything that she had, and she worked hard leading up to this point in the race, and she was going back and forth and battling, and it was difficult and it was hard, but she never quit, and she kept pushing forward till the finish line. She gave everything that she had until she crossed the line victorious. As we think about Christmas and the celebration that we had yesterday of the birth of Jesus, now we ask the question, what now? What do we do knowing that Jesus is born and we've celebrated? Now what do we do with our life? And I want to encourage you today as we end 2021, as we move past Christmas Day, is that we don't just get stuck in a rut of normalcy, but we take the birth of Jesus and the truth of Jesus Christ in our life, and we press on and move forward in our faith. And so I want to talk through just some things that we can do. The one thing that we can do as believers today, as Paul encourages us to be able to grow in our faith for 2022. So if you would, open up your Bibles to Philippians. And we're going to be talking about this one thing. What is this one thing that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 3 that we can apply to our life today that can help us kind of catapult our faith from the truth that Jesus is here, He is present in our life? How do we grow in our relationship with Him as we come into 2022? So Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be starting in verse 12. If you have your Bible, great. We'd love for you to open that up. If you have your notes, that's wonderful. It'll also be up on the screen. If you're able this morning, would you stand as we read God's Word together? This is what God's Word says in Philippians chapter 3. Not that I've already obtained this, for I'm already or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that is in your word. And our prayer this morning, as always, is that the Holy Spirit would move and work in our hearts this morning, transforming us and changing us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just before this passage, this is what Paul says in verse 10. He says this. He says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That's what Paul says. And we come into this part where we begin hearing him talk about the one thing that he is pursuing, that we need to pursue. Now, if we were to take this passage, and we're going to break it down in these three parts in just a little bit, but if you were to just pinpoint what he's talking about right off the top, it's kind of a spoiler alert. You know, what does he mean, this one thing? And I really think it all builds up to this last part of verse 13, where it says this, straining forward to what lies ahead. And he goes, I press on. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I think everything kind of builds up to that moment, and we'll get to that in a second. But what does this look like for us? So what does it mean? Why does Paul say these words about pressing on and about straining forward, about doing all these things? Well, again, this is a spoiler alert. We go to verse 10, and what it simply says is this, is that Paul wants to know Jesus above all else. That's what he wants. He wants to know him in the power of his resurrection. He wants to know him in the sufferings of his death. Listen, he wants to know Jesus far and above anything else in his life. And so as we talk about this one thing, it really is wrapped up in this truth that Paul wants to know Jesus. And can I just encourage you today and say, if you could do anything in 2022... we can have a long list of things that we can do. We can be Sunday school teachers, and we can serve in missions, and we can give faithfully. We can attend worship. We can do all these things, and those things are great, and they are good, and they are needed. But can I tell you, if you had one thing right off the bat in the year 2022, here's what I want to challenge you to do. Know Jesus more. I want to know Jesus more, and I pray that you want to know him more. And so let's look at this passage that Paul kind of lays out some things for us to kind of push us along the way so that we can kind of take on this one thing, this goal that he has in his life. And so again, if you have your notes, great. Pull those out. You can kind of walk through those. You can do it on your phone. But listen, this is the one thing to do for 2022. Isn't that catchy? One thing to do for 2022. Can't do that with 2021, you know, 2020. So that does kind of roll off. Anyway, so the one thing to do for 2022. I'm just going to keep saying it because I like it. Other than lose weight. Okay, that's just me. I don't know. But anyway, number one is this. Listen, when we look in Scripture, and this is what Paul says. Is he talking about this goal he has? He says this, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Listen, one of the things that we can do as we walk through this and learning about Jesus, growing closer to him, knowing him more, is this. Forget what happened yesterday. Forget what happened yesterday. Now, this is a pretty interesting comment, thought. Forget what happens yesterday. Paul puts it this way. Forgetting what lies behind. Now, Paul has a little more eloquence in what he says. But listen, just simply means this. Forget what happened yesterday. So I looked up the most common things that we forget. Now, I'm turning 50, as you know. And so I'm forgetting things all the time. And so I looked up the most common things that people forget. It was that they did a survey. I don't know if you knew this, but they have surveys for everything. So these are the common things that people most forget. So here's one, forgetting where the car was parked. That's number 10. That's one. Have you ever done that? Yep. I tried to park in strategic places. That's all I can say. Number 9, forgetting what you're searching for online or on the computer. I've done that. Number 8, forgetting to post something. Number 7, forgetting to respond to an email. Number 6, taking meat out to defrost. That's one of the most common things people forget. Popsicle meat. I think it's okay. Number 5, where you put your pen. That's one. Usually it's behind your ear and you don't realize it. Number 4, people's names when you're introducing them. Y'all do that? Yep, I'm guilty of that. Number 3, forgetting things on your grocery list. I just don't take a list anymore. Number two, misplacing keys. Has anybody misplaced their keys this week? Okay? And can anybody tell me, just yell out what you think, the most forgetful things we forget the most. What are some of the most common? Anybody else can think of number one? Passwords, that's a good one. Birthday, yeah. Yeah, that you're in trouble. Yeah. Well, yeah, so I actually put our anniversary inside my ring. See? Huh? That's good. Prepping for that. Then I lost my ring. All right. What else? Anybody else have something? Come and forget. What is it? Glasses. Yeah, that's good. They're usually on top of your head. That's right. Mother's birthday. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. What else? Where your phone is. That's a good one. Yeah. Anybody else? All right, so this is very interesting. The number one thing most forgotten, people forget what they why they went into a room. That's the most forgotten thing. Why I just came into this room. Yeah, yeah. Woody's going, why am I in here? I don't even know. Exactly. Yeah, we do that. Yeah, pretty interesting. We forget a lot of things. Now, listen, here's here's what Paul is saying, and listen, there's something wonderful about learning from your mistakes. There's something powerful about moving forward from things that you've done wrong or from mistakes that you made. And so to say that you just delete them and they're gone forever is not what Paul is saying. I don't believe that's what he's saying, because that's impossible for one thing. It's just to delete it and move on. But what he's saying is this: don't dwell. You know, we talk about Jesus dwelling with us on Christmas Eve, pitching a tent, you know, staying a while in our neighborhood. Listen, we do that with our mistakes. We do that with our past, is that we, in a sense, we dwell on them. And listen, that derails us from our faith. We recognize that we are forgiven. We look in Scripture, we know we have a powerful God who loves us, who forgives us through the blood of Jesus. We're forgiven, but yet we dwell on the past mistakes that we've made in our life. The wrong turns that we've taken, the sin that has entangled us, and we hold on to those. In a sense, we make a home there, and what happens is it keeps us from growing in our faith. And so I believe Paul struggled with this. I mean, I can only imagine what had to be going through his heart and mind as Jesus changed his life, thinking back on all the mistakes that he had made persecuting Christians and all the legalism that happened. And listen, he probably struggled with that. And so I think he learns from that and he remembers those things because it helps him as a believer today and how to, for him in that day to react to people and help people. Listen, the same for us, but we choose not to dwell there. And so we have to make a choice of not to dwell on our past, to not just camp out on the mistakes that we've made. Now, here's the interesting thing about what Paul is saying. Now, for the most part, now again, Paul, I'm sure, struggled with that. But I believe there's another meaning to this for him. When he talks about moving past the past, you know, forgetting the past, for him, think about what his life was about. And he talks about this quite a bit. He was like the top of the religious chain. He had the education. He had the standing. He had all the good stuff. Now, I think one of the things that we have a problem with as believers today is that we hold on to our successes too long. And I believe this is a part of what Paul's talking about. Listen, it is hard to be to humbly serve God and to be obedient to Him and to give Him everything when we're sitting back celebrating all that we have done. And I believe this is a part of Paul's charge for us. Forget all the things in the past. So just kind of move past those things. Don't dwell on the failures. Don't dwell on the mistakes. And don't dwell on the successes, because it's going to bog you down. Is going to keep you from seeing the new things that God has for you. You know, that's one of the hardest parts, isn't it? When we kind of dwell on our successes, we miss the new things that God has for us. Listen, those successes aren't bad. You know, we've accomplished, even as a church, we've accomplished a lot of great things. We've had a lot of great, victories as a church. And But are we supposed to dwell on those? To sit back and to celebrate the victories, those things that we have done so well? No. No, we're supposed to, what Paul is saying, we're to forget those things and move forward. Listen, we have to be willing to not dwell on those things because God has something for us. Think about how God led the Israelites. He led them daily, right? It wasn't just once and they kind of hung on. He had feeding them. God provided for them daily. They didn't collect all the food, the manna and everything. They didn't collect it all. God provided daily, just enough for the day. Why? Because God wanted them to trust Him in the new things. He wanted them to keep moving forward. So, and we look in Scripture, in Lamentations, it says the Lord's mercies are new every morning. So this is a picture of what Paul's experiencing here. He says this, listen, forget that past, start moving forward. And this comes to the second thing, is this. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So let's just not forget about yesterday, but listen, forge ahead into tomorrow. Forge ahead into tomorrow. I love the picture here of what this means to forge ahead. And I can go back to that opening illustration of the skier as she's coming across the finish line. She lunges with her ski, almost doing the splits to get that extra second, lunging across that finish line. And that's the picture that we have here as Paul is saying these words, straining forward with everything that you have, pushing forward to tomorrow. And what does this mean for us? Well, listen, it means that we, again, make a choice. Are we going to dwell on our past, or are we straining forward and forging ahead to what God has for us? It's a mindset. It's God allowing God to work on our hearts and our minds, trusting that God has something big for us. So here's what's interesting, and you can see this a lot of times. When people refuse to kind of forge ahead, when they get stuck in the past of their successes or their failures, which we see that a lot, we see a kind of a lack of passion for the Lord, a lack of a power in their living. It reminds me of Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, "You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. That's what I feel like when we are stuck in our past successes or failures. What we're doing is we're allowing our race to get cut in on. Satan will use that to trip us up and to keep us from accomplishing what God has laid out before us. And so I want to encourage you today to not just forget yesterday, but forge ahead to tomorrow. Make plans today to begin looking at the new things that God has for you in your life. What does God have for you tomorrow? What does God have for you today? Listen, we're looking ahead our life, which comes to the last one. He goes on, he says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And this comes to the big one right here. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So not only do we forget, not only do we forge ahead, but now we focus on the plans that God has for us. You know, God has some big things planned for you in 2022. That rhymed also. God has some big plans. And we are called to focus on what He has. We're forging ahead, focused on what He has for us. This goal that has been set and laid out before us. Now, again, I don't believe Paul is talking about salvation that he's trying to attain. Listen, he's trying to know Jesus more. He's learning more of who he is. He's growing in his passion, taking on and holding on to the victory of Jesus as he grows closer to him. Listen, this is the goal that he has, and he's going to continue pressing on. He's going to continue focusing on this until he sees Jesus face to face. That's our call in life, and we are to focus on this call that he has for us. I love Romans 8:28. Everybody loves that verse, and it's such a powerful verse that God works all things. But verse 29 is pretty amazing. Listen, here's what it says all together. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." And listen, it says this, according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. I botched that verse up, but let me just tell you, verse 29, he says that predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Listen, this is the ultimate plan God has for you. Don't be scared by that predestined word, okay? But this is what it means. This is God's plan from the beginning of time for you to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus. That's what that means. So before you were born, the plan that God has for you is to be more like his son Jesus. Listen, that's a powerful verse. Listen, we recognize that God is working and moving. But listen, the goal for you in your life is to be more like him. And so when we talk about this idea of focusing in, we have to ask ourselves, am I focused on this plan that God has for me? Am I focused on being more like Jesus? This was Paul's desire. He wanted to forget. He chose not to dwell. And he was ready to forge ahead. And all the while, he was going to be focused on God's plan for his life. God's plan for all people. He was focused on what God had for him. The great tenor Pavarotti, if you guys know music, Pavarotti, pretty famous. Someone asked him one time how he became such a great singer. His dad wasn't a singer. That wasn't his field. But the one thing that his dad told him, and he says this in an interview, he said, My dad told me that I love to sing, is what Pavarotti said. And his dad says this. He says whether you're going to be a teacher, whether you're going to be a singer, he says this. Luciano, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. That was his advice. And so Pavarotti chose one chair. He was going to sing. And for his whole life, he stuck to his one chair. The ups and the downs, the hardships, the victories, he stayed with the one chair. You know, I think as believers, many times we try to sit between two chairs. And the problem with that is we always fall in between. You see, the two chairs, the world and Jesus. And we fall in between many times, and we think that's okay to live by. But can I just encourage you today? Choose Jesus. Our focus can be so broad on so many things, but may we focus on what God has for us, knowing Jesus more. How can I live my life knowing who he is and allowing the Holy Spirit to conform me more into who he is? Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You see, Paul had it right. He wanted to know Jesus. And in order to do that, it's all about forgetting, then forging, and then focusing. As we go into 2022, may we make that one thing, knowing Jesus, our focus. I have three just quick challenges I just want to share with you, and if you have your notes, you can write these in. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. As we end this year and begin 2022, I want you to take an assessment of your faith. Take an honest assessment of your faith. Where are you in your relationship with Jesus? Take an honest look. Don't look blinded by successes or anything like that or failures. Take an honest look at where you are in your faith. And then I want you to do this. Take action against the distractions in your life. For 2022, take action against those things that are keeping you from growing closer to Jesus. Now, there are going to be many things in your life that are good, but they're not great. Look for the great things that God has for you. There are a lot of things that are bad. Those distractions are easy to throw away. But there's some things that just aren't allowing us to grow closer to Jesus. They're not bad. They're just not the great that Jesus has for us. And so listen, take action against those distractions. And the last thing is this, take aim. Assessment, action, and aim towards godly goals. Set some godly goals for 2022. I believe Paul had some goals there. Things that he wanted to do as he focused in on him. I think we could do the same. That L4 that we've set up, reading through the Bible, a great goal. Sharing the gospel, a great goal. Praying, having devotion every day, a great goal for all of us. Coming to church, worshiping with the church family, a great goal. Set some godly goals. Where do you want to be at the end of the year in 2022? Because I just want you to know, if you're going to be spiritually the same at the end of 2022 as you are at the beginning of 2022, then listen, you've missed it. We should be different. We should be changed. We should be different now than we were at the beginning of 2021. So set some godly goals in your life and let God move and work in you. What are you going to do with 2022? I pray that God transforms us. We're going to do programs and we're going to have things at our church. We're going to have all the things that we normally do. Listen, we're going to do it all. I'm excited about the new year. COVID ain't going to be doing nothing to us. We're going to be going, we're moving forward. Listen, always moving forward, getting back to what God wants as a church. But in it all, nothing should compare to us knowing Jesus. So in 2022, may we know Him better.